I'm Marco Werman with the World Pop Quiz. During World War II, the Japanese successfully captured and occupied territory in which American state? Answer, Alaska. I didn't know that either. We can't forget, of course, the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. But 6 months later, the Japanese also bombed Dutch Harbor in Alaska. And 3 days after that, they captured two remote islands out on the Aleutian chain. Here is Alina Simone with the story of what happened on one of them.
It's one of the least likely pieces of land you can imagine anyone fighting over. An uninhabited, treeless, subarctic island 1,100 miles away from the Alaskan mainland. But according to Canadian military historian Brandon Coyle, during World War II, the Japanese couldn't afford to ignore Akiska, or its sister island.
One of the concerns was that the Americans would island hop all the way to Akiska and Attu and use them as bases from which to hit Japan.
The Americans were equally concerned about what would happen should Akiska fall into Japanese hands.
The seizure of several islands in the western Aleutians would protect the enemy's northern flank and move Japanese forces into position for regular attacks against U.S. bases. With the enemy firmly situated on Akiska and on Attu at the tip of the Aleutian chain, the security of Alaska was endangered.
The story of the obscure struggle over this remotest of territories is the subject of Coyle's new book, Akiska. He says the Americans had their work cut out for them defending the island.
Part of the problem was there was no infrastructure. The Americans had to build everything from scratch, the bases and that. The islands themselves are very inhospitable.
Exactly how inhospitable?
They get these terrific winds up there that blow to probably over 100 miles an hour.
When a Willawa or Aleutian windstorm started blowing, all the GIs on the islands quickly battened down their shelters. Some of the men had seen some pretty strong twisters in the U.S., but nothing to compare with a full-scale Willawa.
It's perpetually cold and windy and foggy, and there's a good reason why nobody lives there, I guess, because of that.
Incredibly, the Japanese ultimately sent 7,500 troops to live on Akiska after they seized the island on June 6, 1942. To give you a sense of this number, that was a tenth of Alaska's entire population at the time. During their 15 months on Akiska, the Japanese built barracks, tunnels, and roads. They dug miles of trenches. The Allied troops dropped 7 million pounds of bombs on Akiska in an effort to dislodge them. Brandon Coyle was able to document the ghostly remains of Japanese shipwrecks and downed fighter planes during the 51 days he spent on the island. But the most shocking part of Kiska's story wasn't the occupation by the Japanese, but what happened when the Allied forces came to take it back.
In the gray Arctic light, the combined Allied fleet steams for its objective. Troops don war paint, camouflage, for what they expected to be the bloodiest of battles against a foe fighting to the death.
What happened was the Americans threw up a blockade around the island, and so there was no ships or support for the Japanese getting in or out. The Americans withdrew to refuel and rearm their vessels. In that time, the Japanese were able to actually abandon Akiska within a matter of hours.
Still, this was a good thing, right? The unexpected peaceful end to the Japanese occupation.
Now, Allied forces move in to reclaim the American soil of Akiska. And the landing is unopposed.
Only here's the coda that you don't hear in this government newsreel from 1943. In heavy fog and wind, American and Canadian troops who moved in to retake the island began shooting at one another, not realizing the Japanese were already gone. This battle without an enemy lasted 2 days, and
what did happen was 25 Allied troops did get killed in friendly fire.
Between that and the booby traps and mines the Japanese left behind, more than 300 men ended up dying in the Battle of Akiska.
Akiska, again in American hands, is a new stepping stone to Tokyo.
Today, Akiska is known for a different kind of invasion, also a result of World War II, rats. And that's what finally got Brandon to Akiska after years of trying. He crossed paths with a biologist studying the rats' impact on the native habitat. Luckily for Brandon, the biologist was looking for a field assistant.
So I signed on at $20 a day.
The wind, the cold, the rats, the isolation. I had to ask Brandon, did he really have to go to Akiska to write this book? I mean, isn't that what Google Earth is for?
Yeah, but there's nothing like being there.
Let's take his word for it. For the world, This is Alina Simone.